Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, noon! Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Quite a Zoom call last night, Keefe.
Magical
in every sense. Great start, solid finish, like an awkward end to it. The whole thing was electric. We got to see the home setup for all the beat writers. Some chose to show their face, others just their email address. Awesome. People talking over each other. Just a calamity. I enjoyed every second of it.
Gaspar was yelling over Breslow at one point.
I don't know what was happening.
Did a flight attendant yell at Cotillo? I saw him tweeting about that. I don't know if I noticed that in real time or understood fully what was going on.
Is that what that was?
I don't know.
I think he was definitely on plane Wi-Fi doing it.
I also was a big fan of the guy they kept showing that didn't ask any questions. Every once in a while, I just panned to one guy. He's like looking at it like, Then they were like cut away from him.
There, dude.
Who's that guy?
I think I was Chris Ryan. I believe that's who that was.
One. Yeah. Give him one. And they're like, next guy.
He was muttering under his breath on the Zoom call.
Which
Greg Moshe.
That's a fireable offense.
That's what he was.
Careful what you say on those Zooms.
So we got to all your thoughts on this. 617-779-7937. Red Sox largely took the high road. They largely stuck to their corporate jargon.
The alignment was, they couldn't get alignment.
Yeah, correct. There was no alignment.
No, there's none.
Organizationally, which, again, I agree with some of that. I wish they slung a little bit more mud, but they largely took the high road. There weren't a ton of answers in there. There was a moment where Sam Kennedy got a little snippy, which I want to get to.
Yeah.
But largely, you know, I think it's what we'd expect out of the Red Sox. They go up there, they defend the decision. Totally wasn't about money.
Right.
You know, we just didn't align with Rafael Devers. We really liked the return. I think you could brace yourself for a lot of the excuses and explanation that we got instead of the truth, which is they wanted to save some money, and the situation with Devers was untenable because he's selfish. And so I just wish we got more of that. I understand why the Red Sox took the approach they did. I'm curious if Devers will take a similar approach when he has his press conference today, because he might sling mud back at them. But I think that's the truth of why they did it. I think that's always been the truth.
Yeah, I think the thing that stood out the most and the thing that they were pretty clear about was it felt like they thought Devers would ruin the young players. And they were like, they're so much invested in the young guys. They all came up at different times, all for different reasons. But they kept kind of going back to like the atmosphere in the clubhouse and the culture in the clubhouse and like how like the importance of the young guys and blah, 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 blah. And so really what kind of just jumped out to me was, if we kept Devers here, he could like submarine them and the season. And for a guy who's still hitting whatever he's hitting, bunch of home runs, bunch of RBI, they're like, no. Even that, the guy who's hitting second every game all season long, not worth it. They thought it would have too much of a long-term effect. Now, they're trying to sell it like they could still win right now. And maybe that means there's going to be another move or two between now and the deadline. They certainly are convinced this is going to be a better move long term, and I think it has as much to do about like the atmosphere inside the clubhouse than it does certainly what the lineup looks like.
And I agree with the atmosphere in the clubhouse. I do think making it specifically about the young guys, I think, is some retroactive excuse making.
So they're almost blaming the young guys on why they had to trade Devers.
I just think he was bad for the whole thing. He's not just bad for them. He's bad for the whole thing. I just think talking about poisoning the well for the young players coming up.
Yeah.
I think he was bad for the entire situation. So I wouldn't just make it about the young kids, although maybe that's the way they feel like they can sell it to some fans who do like Roman Anthony and do like Marcelo Meyer and excited for the next generation. Maybe that's a way to pitch it. But I think that's what they're doing. I just think Devers, keep it on the level with us. Devers was bad for the whole team, not just the young guys. He's bad for the whole team.
But Breslow and Kennedy, because they both speak on this very station, like every other week or so, you know, they are, we keep track of what they say. They'll hop on Nesson every once in a while and talk, and then they'll hold these things, and they contradict themselves quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like Kennedy, very famously, we can get into that. But even Breslow, it wasn't that long ago that Breslow was saying, you know, basically, if we call up Roman Anthony right now, there's a lot of pressure on him to be the guy. Fast forward a week and a half, you trade Devers, and now Anthony's batting third in your lineup. What is that?
It's going well. I mean, he homered in his first at bat without him, Keith.
Socked a dinger.
But,
it's like his only hit. But
that
whatever.
It feels hypocritical, for sure.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, they wanted to, like, ease these guys in. They'd be like, hey, we don't want to ruin these top prospects, which was, I guess, their approach a month ago. But now they're hitting third and fifth in the lineup the day after you trade Rafael Devers, or 2 days after. Like, that was pretty that's not what you were saying a week before. And then obviously you have Sam Kennedy talking about how Devers would play the field if need be. And then he was asked about a point blank last night. He's like,
I'm the eternal optimist.
I was hoping that he would.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Should we ever believe another word either of you guys say? Because you could Gerard Mayo this thing, and like the next time we hear from you, you'd be like, well, that's not really what I meant.
Look, from a PR standpoint, they don't handle this very well.
No, it was not good.
I think they made the right move trading Devers, especially because I know you're digging in on some numbers on this, Keith. I don't think it's finalized.
Yeah.
But especially because people wildly overrate Devers. In fact, the question that set Sam Kennedy off, I think, overstated Devers and his stature in the game a little bit. And I love McCarthy, but I think that part was overstated
a bit. Devers is not a Hall of Famer. Like, he's a very good player, but
he's not a Hall of Famer. Are you still compiling your list, or do you have a full
list? No, I got my
list. Okay, give me the full list of what is this again?
So we're doing Rafael Devers. This is my stat. This is pre him being traded, by the way. This isn't me just being like coming up with this after the fact. As great as everybody says he is, he's never finished in the top 10 in the American League MVP vote.
Best he ever finished was 11th.
Meaning he's never been a top 20 player in a given season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to use that metric, right?
So Devers' best finish again was 11th in 2021.
Yeah.
So the last time they made the playoffs, he finished 11th.
So we've been doing this since 2000 stuff, just as easier rather than going back in the whole history of the 100 plus years of Red Sox baseball. But since 2000, how many individual players, not total appearances on the top 10 list, but how many individual players do you think have been in the top 10 for a given season?
Based on the way people talk about Devers, like 2 or 3.
7!
More than both. 16!
16.
16 different Red Sox have finished in the top 10.
Okay, give me the list.
You guys want to guess them, or do you want me to just tell you?
Oh, we can. You want to do some guessing?
Yeah, guess them.
Could get a little chaotic, but all right.
All right, okay, Billy and Jones.
Let me
Nick,
tell you.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you one I know, because this is how the whole discussion started. Somebody texted in. Well, actually, Nick said Mike Lowell finished 5th.
Yeah, so we got that one
in the MVP in 2007, which I did not believe. But there's one. The text line also sent in, and this really started the whole discussion. Jason Bay finished 7th in 2009.
Yeah.
His only full year with the Red Sox, he finished 7th. He went 36-119.
Right.
Which people would do backflips.
Is he going to the Hall of Fame?
If Rafael Devers did that, is he going to the Hall of Fame?
I don't believe so.
Billy, do you want to answer to that 36-119, 7th place MVP?
Take a walk.
Okay, so Billy still hates Jason Bay.
That was the most boring 36-119 in the history
Much
of baseball.
Much more highly regarded, nothing MVP vote-wise, than Rafael Devers. Okay, Manny's on the list.
Yes.
Ortiz is on the list.
Yes.
We know Betts was on the list. He won the MVP, for God's sakes.
Yes.
Pedro.
Yes.
Pedro, good one. Euclid?
Yes.
Obviously, Pedroia.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Pedroia won it. Duh.
He won it.
Ellsbury?
Yes.
How many do we have left?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
So seven
more? More guys. Yeah.
7!
Did Sale get top 10 MVP
yes,
votes?
Yes, he did.
Okay, Sale.
Yes, he did.
Schilling.
No, Schilling did not. He did not. Now, again, this is
Do we say Nomar? Nomar.
Nomar Garciaparra did.
Okay. Yep.
This is the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department, so there could be a few that
these
we've
stats
missed.
Are fluid.
Yeah, but these guys for sure did.
There's still 5 more?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah,
there's 5 more.
And
he played with
Have at least one?
No,
how
good
about,
guess, though.
How about Adrian Gonzalez?
Yes, he did.
Okay, Adrian Gonzalez.
Adrian Gonzalez, a fan favorite.
Yep.
Left-handed Bay. Just unmemorable.
No. Left-handed Bay is Devers.
Beltre's 1 year did he get there?
Oh, Beltre. Great one.
Adrian Beltre. Good one.
Okay, what do we still have left? 3 or 4?
Yeah, the most recent ones.
We do?
Yeah, they're all teammates of his.
Oh, Duran, duh.
Jaren Duran last year.
Did we say Bogarts?
No, you didn't, but he did. A couple times, actually. And one more.
One more?
Yeah.
Oh, J.D. Martinez.
Yes. J.D. Martinez, wow, MVP, top 10 MVP.
Got the whole list.
Yes.
Wow, that's way easier than a random player.
Yeah. That is, these are relevant guys.
So all those guys got top 10 MVP votes, which Devers never got. So it's like, if you asked in a vacuum, better player, Devers or Mike Lowell? I think almost uniformly
I'd say Devers.
Red Sox player, Red Sox fans would say Devers, yeah.
But in that season, no, he never had a season like the season.
Well,
he had.
And that's a better way to say.
So no, he. I mean, I'm not gonna.
Jason Bay was only here for a year and change, and he did better in the MVP.
Yeah, Devers
so has Beltre.
Well, Beltre's had a better career, but
yeah,
like
but
Bay
like the
had
one
a,
year he was here.
Yeah,
oh, Beltre's great.
Beltre, I think, missed the playoffs when he was here. At least Bay got to.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The first year he got to Game 7 of the ALCS. Yeah.
He's not even the best third baseman on this list.
Right.
He's not even the best Red Sox third baseman.
So, again, it doesn't mean Devers stinks. But
no,
people
no, no,
talk
no.
about him like he's Betts. He's way closer to Jason Bay, Adrian Beltre, all good players. Way closer to all those guys than Betts. Pleased with that.
Yeah, no, no.
Meanwhile, Sam Kennedy got real snippy.
He did.
At the Red Sox constantly moving on from good players. Maybe we were asking, maybe it was really about Jason Bay way back in the day when they moved on
true.
From him.
Should've
finishing
kept
seventh
him.
In the MVP
Bay.
Vote. But here's Sam Kennedy explaining himself and getting, I think, losing the messaging a little bit. It's the one time he got flustered.
Each and every player decision is its own individual decision. And as I said at the outset, it's really, really hard when we either can't line up with our own players who become free agents or we don't line up on extensions. Obviously, very different circumstances. But I'll put our record up against anybody else's in Major League Baseball over the last 24 years. We're incredibly proud of what we've built here.
Proud.
We've got more trophies and banners to show for it than any other organization in Major League Baseball. And we are so proud of that. And this clubhouse believes in itself, and we believe in them. And I think our players are going to be pretty vocal over the next couple months about the belief in themselves and what they've been put together to do. Craig Breslow, it's easier for me to talk about him. He knows what it means to be a World Series champion in Boston.
Oh.
His tenure here, albeit short, has been defined by bold, decisive, aggressive moves. Probably feels a lot more than 2 years in the role. But a lot of the moves that he's made have been bold and decisive and rooted in what is in the best interest of the baseball team. We're never going to shy away from big, bold decisions. We'll get a lot wrong, and hopefully we'll get more right than wrong.
Hopefully.
And we'll keep adding trophies to that case and raising banners here in Fenway.
Okay.
Honest question. How many bold moves has Breslow made?
Seven.
Two? Counting this one?
What's the other one?
Maybe getting Crochet and giving up on Teal?
I guess. I wouldn't consider that.
No,
I consider that a no-brainer.
This
is the bold move. I mean, they made some other...
This is a bold move.
They made some other good moves, but bold
Henry
moves,
also
you're right.
gave him the go-ahead to do it.
Yeah,
it's not really bold when your boss is like, trade this guy.
Trade this
and then it's
bum.
Like, whoa, you traded Devers? Like, no, I was told to trade Devers.
Trade this bum
yeah.
who I will meet with in Kansas City and he won't move positions. Trade his ass. I want the $250 million back.
So you can make a case that he hasn't made any bold moves.
Good
last
point.
Year's
Great
deadline
point.
Was a joke.
Great point.
We need a righty stick. We got Danny Jansen. You got a backup catcher for your righty stick, two scrubby arms, and James Paxton back?
So
that wasn't bold.
Here's what I would say. Kennedy is not wrong. In fact, I have used that same logic comparing to like other ownership groups in town where people talk about Kraft like he's some great owner. All he did was fall ass backwards into Tom Brady and win a bunch, which is not that difficult to do. Case in point, Tampa year one.
Yeah.
The second Brady left. They've won with different GMs, different managers, different players. One was with Betts. A bunch were with Ortiz. There wasn't one common thread like there was with Brady. So I'll give the Red Sox that. Now, yesterday, not the time to be slamming that trump card down on the table.
Oh, I hate it.
Especially when you've only made the playoffs one time in the last 6 years. You woke up today in the playoffs, so congrats to you.
Right.
But one time in the last 6 years you made the playoffs, not the time to be thumping your chest about
no,
that.
No, this
one.
Isn't like, hey, since you've taken over Red Sox versus Yankees, compare the resumes. This is like you've given up on another really good player. The team's been bad for a while. You haven't made the playoffs since 21. You're thumping your chest about all these World Series, which is great, but the last one was 2018. So it's now been a number of years where you've been really far away from that. So it's like, yeah, we won. And you're like, Breslow knows what it takes to win. Okay. By that same logic, so does Devers and Betts, who you were just asked about.
Right.
Devers, Betts, and Sale were all on the 18 team. You got rid of all those guys. Betts has gone on to win two more World Series. And you're like, yeah, but Breslow was on. He pitched out of the pen in 13. You're like, great. What does that do for you? Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, Betts didn't have great numbers in that 2018 postseason, but he was more impactful for sure.
Yeah, it was pretty helpful.
More impactful for sure than Brez. So June Lee had this great story at Yahoo, and there's a bunch of good little details in it. Let's highlight this, though, because he paints, and this is not, people in the Twitch chat earlier were calling this a smear campaign of Devers. No,
I don't think so.
No, no, no. This is like... I don't even know who, like, fired scouts angry at Breslow in the direction of the organization.
If you read one specific new detail, then you would say, yeah, it is. But if you read the whole article, you'd be like, no, it's not.
So it talks about how isolated Breslow is and how he's freezing out some of the old timers, meaning people who predated him with the Red Sox, which I bet, by the way, is not unique. A new GM came in and started phasing out, like, the old regime.
Especially if you're Breslow and you're like, I'm not even allowed to pick the manager. Can I at least pick some of the scouts?
So, look, I don't really have an issue with this at all for Breslow. Like, I think it's supposed to come across poorly for Breslow. It doesn't really for me. But if you want to talk about the dysfunction and just the humor level of this is what's going on over there. One of the clearest signals came during an internal Zoom meeting earlier this season where towards the end, Craig Mosche, the Red Sox scouting supervisor and a team employee since 2017, he's been in baseball. He worked for Major League Baseball. He was with the Yankees and the Orioles prior to that, going back to the mid-'80s. Okay, he thought the call had ended. It hadn't. As the meeting wrapped up, his voice cut through a quiet moment. Thanks, Brez, you effing stiff, Mosche said.
Sick burn.
According to two team sources. So he thought the Zoom was over.
Yeah, whoops.
Under his breath, he's like, you stiff. The words landed like a grenade.
Who was he talking to, himself?
Breslow fired Mosche, I think, probably.
Yeah.
Mosche, by the way, did not respond to requests for comment to June Lee, even though I'm guessing he had some dirt to say about Breslow in this story.
Yeah, maybe not on the record.
But whatever. Thanks, Brez, you effing stiff. Brez fired him. And look, I just...
And he was asked about that this morning.
He declined comment on the scout, as he referred to him, quote unquote. Yes.
Right. But if you didn't do that, you'd be like, no, that never happened.
Yeah.
So obviously this happened.
Yeah.
Like 100%
of this happened. Saying no comment means
it all happened.
You got it right. You got the story right. Yep, that's accurate. Yep.
June Lee nailed that.
So look, it's dysfunctional because people are muttering under their breath the second they think they log out of a Zoom meeting.
Right.
And they openly detest Breslow.
And also, that also just goes to show you too, and I think everybody knows this with any kind of workplace, like if one person's going to say that person saying that out loud also... probably to get a reaction from like somebody else. Maybe you think Breslow's off, but you say it to a coworker who I assume probably feels the same way as you. Or like otherwise you wouldn't say that because then you're like the one that everyone's pointing at you, like, hey, dude, don't say that about our awesome boss. So I think if he says that,
other people
chances
feel that
are,
way.
Yeah, other people in the room feel the same way.
But who are they? Are they all the people getting phased out who probably
they
should
could
get
be.
Phased
they
out?
They might be.
So they're all, look, to me, Breslow hasn't been perfect. I think Breslow's had a pretty good season. And so all the people muttering under their breath and calling him an effing stiff, like, what was it about Crochet?
Yeah.
Was it about Bregman?
Or
was it about Narvaez? Like, who are you bitching about, Mosche?
Or is it about spin rates and drive line?
Okay, well, maybe. It might be. But I would say, again, I think Breslow's had a pretty good offseason. So if you're rolling
your eyes... I would say he had a good offseason. He had a bad last year trade deadline.
100%.
And this year, it's still obviously up in the air.
And it hasn't been perfect. Yeah. Bueller's been a mess. So I'm not telling you it's been perfect, but, like, what were they exactly complaining about? If it's the analytics,
I get it.
But, of course, Breslow's going to phase out his guys. If you're mad about going in an analytical direction... be mad at the guy who put Breslow in power.
But the story
that's John Henry.
The story also reads, though, that, like, he's not really working with anybody. Like, he's just kind of, like, doing his own thing, and Henry's empowering that.
Well, it's a smaller circle.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what that means. I don't think that means he's not working with anybody. I think that means he's freezing out people from the old regime is what
he's
it
working
says.
With Cora. He made that clear.
Oh, yeah. No, they're
he's
on board.
With Alex about this Devers deal.
They're totally on the same page.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want a baseball guy running baseball ops and not Breslow, I get it. I'd love somebody who is more of a quote-unquote baseball guy, a Dombrowski, if you will. I'd love that. But that's not who's running baseball ops. And so I don't think it's odd at all that he's shrinking his inner circle to people that he hired and put in power, as opposed to people that Dombrowski and or Bloom hired. And he's freezing those guys. Honestly, I don't get how those guys are still here, to be honest. I don't get how a guy like Craig Mosche is still here.
Yeah. Well, he's not.
Or war was.
He's not. Yeah, he's gone.
Before he tubed himself out on the Zoom call.
You got to be careful of these tricky Zooms. You never know. I think you got to log out twice. Because it's like, are you sure you want to leave the meeting?
Are you sure you want to exit the meeting?
Because then the thing pops up. It's like, click this to like not, don't ask me again. If you don't do that,
maybe
they're going to keep asking.
Maybe he thought he was muted. He's like, oh, I'm muted. They can't hear it anyway. I'm going to say it.
I'll say this under my breath. Feel better about myself. Yeah, I feel I got him. Craig's like, what was that?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Huh?
Nothing.
Do you think
the whole meeting's recorded? I can go back and listen to it.
Do you think he fired him right there? Or do you think it took like a couple of days?
No. Right there in front of everybody.
I'm not sure.
I think that's what you do.
Well, that's what you should do.
Everybody, get back on the call.
What'd you say, Craig?
If you guys hung up, hop back on. I got something to say to the other Craig.
What'd you say, Craig?
No,
nothing, Craig. No, I heard you, Craig.
I heard you, Craig.
I go, it's a different Craig.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I like to think he fired him on the spot. My guess is that took a little while. Breslow doesn't seem like a guy who's got the pulse to fire anybody on the spot.
Can I finish? Please, can I finish? Okay, I'm finished.
617-779-7937. More of your phone calls coming up. We'll get to more from the June Lee story, how upset Devers was at a specific teammate. We'll do that right after Trending with Billy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I thought that was an interesting answer from Breslow. A moment of truth, whether he meant to give it or not. He's like, yeah, timing, not great.
No, not great.
Wasn't our best.
You and I are definitely in the minority of the, like, we're fine that Devers got traded. But then you listen to Sam and Breslow last night try to explain it away. And I'm like,
I don't want to be on those guys.
Like, you're making it worse. Like, I was trying to take your side, guys. I was trying to say it's a good deal for the team long term and everything else. But you're like, I don't know. Because they're adamant that it's not about money. They tell you that they're going to invest in the team, but until they do, are they just going to pocket this $250 million or apparently give it to Liverpool?
Look, if they turn around and spend the money, I'll give them credit. Yeah. But in the meantime, I'm not giving them any credit for the dumping the salary part of it. I wish they got a better return. The way to do that would be to eat more of the salary. The guy from Baseball Prospectus, Jeff Pontus, I think his name is. Pontius there from the Wild
Pilot.
Boys?
Oh,
the
Chris
Wild
Pontius.
Boys.
Yeah, Party Boy.
Yeah.
It's great.
He said, reported that John Henry turned down better offers, but they would have had to eat some of the salary. The Red Sox didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm upset with the Henry portion of it. Breslow, let's see if he got it right with Harrison. If Harrison can play, he did his part of the deal right. If not, then it's going to be like the Chris Sale trade, which is a brutal one. So
it's just tough to spin that you're really in it for this year. And I think they could be. Last night's win, put them in the playoffs. They are the third wild card team right now in the American League. They're only two games over 500, but they were only one game over 500with Devers.
I don't think it's that hard to spin it, but you got to go harder than they went, which is Devers was a problem. They're telling you they didn't align, which is their way of saying he's a problem, but they needed to go farther with that.
Yeah.
Then you can spin it. The guy's a problem.
Yeah,
he's hitting, but he's a problem, but he's clogging up DH, and we can't get all the guys we want to get in the lineup, rather go forward with these guys than him. That's how you spin it. You could be better off this year without him. I believe that.
You could be, but I think it's difficult when you take the guy who led the team in home runs and RBI, remove him from the equation, and you add to the current roster right now nothing. You basically just cut him as it relates to this current roster.
And even the young guys who we feel good about, none of them are hitting. I mean, Anthony hit a home run last night, but not in general.
But guess what? You could play all those guys. You could have. We've mapped it out a million different times. You could have played all those guys. Sorry you have to sit, Willier Abreu or Christian Campbell or one of these guys a little bit, but you could play Anthony Meyer and Devers. You could have played all those guys all the time if you really wanted to. And they're like, well, we got a reliable, late-inning reliever in Jordan Hicks. Do you? The guy stinks, and he's not even healthy right now.
Yeah, Hicks is not a consideration. The prospects really aren't a consideration.
A long ways away.
It's all about Harrison.
Maybe Harrison ends up being pretty good. And maybe this is what Breslow was also talking about, how bad the timing is because normally at the trade deadline, and we were talking about this when we were going through all the major trades in the last 25 years of the Red Sox, you trade Nomar, and that was a shocking trade. You get Cabrera and Mankiewicz, and then you soon after get Roberts. So it's you see as a fan one marquee player out, but now you get these three pieces coming in to the active roster. How do they all fit together? Right now you have nothing added to the active roster.
Not
if you did this,
right now.
And maybe not ever, but if you waited till the trade deadline and there were two other moves, you're like, all right, well, all these guys are now joining the team. Maybe they have a first baseman. Maybe they have a righty bat, something.
But if Hicks is in the bullpen and Harrison's in your rotation, then you have guys contributing to the big league team if they're contributing, if they're not just disasters.
Right, right.
So the idea is it's the Nomar trade. And not that you're going to win the World Series like they did in 04. I don't expect them to do
it
that.
It feels unlikely at this moment.
But they should be able to go on a run to the play. Hell, they woke up today in playoff position. One day without Devers, they're back in the playoffs.
Look at that.
So
it was the spark they needed.
So they should be a playoff team. I believe that. And the hope is it's the Nomar trade, where on paper you look at it and go, boy, that wasn't enough for this guy.
Yeah.
But it was almost about, it was more about what you subtracted.
Yeah, because there were some
the
pouting going on in both cases.
Let me give you another example. Keith, you like this from the June Lee story.
All right.
And it's wild. Rafael Devers, and this is just one line, by the way, which tells you again, this was a piece to rip Breslow and the Red Sox dysfunction.
Yeah.
It's just one sentence. I wish June Lee elaborated more on it, but it got tucked into the story. According to multiple sources, Devers was upset when rookie Christian Campbell volunteered to play first base this season. Devers interpreted it a slight at his own stature.
This is wild. This is not, Devers is such a bad teammate that he's annoyed by other guys being good teammates. A guy that is willing to change positions, which he already did. He already proved he was literally playing games at second base and the outfield this season. Tristan Casas goes down. They're rotating guys over there. And Christian Campbell volunteers. He's like, hey, I could try to play first if need be. And Devers is like, how dare you? Like, how dare he? He's trying to do something. He's trying to free up a spot. Maybe at that point, that was when Bregman was still healthy, and he's thinking, maybe this is the way to get Meyer up here, or who knows?
Exactly. So that's an example of how Devers hurt the team.
Yeah.
Campbell was willing to go to first to make room for one of these prospects and make the team.
And now he's giving him crap for
it. The lineup more functional and fit together better, which is one of my chief complaints about this the whole time. Not just that he's a bad teammate, but he's getting in the way of an optimal lineup because
he
won't move.
Level. Because it's one thing for him, whatever, in his head to be like, I'm not playing first, and stamp his feet. And you're like, all right, that's very individual, very selfish. But then to also then take it out on somebody that is willing to change positions, that's like diabolical.
Okay, and not just anybody. One of the kids who just got here.
Yeah,
so
this
does go back to what they were saying over and over again about the development climate for these young kids.
They thought Devers was going to like destroy these guys.
A 22-year-old kid, and this is the best example of it. As far as we know, maybe there's more to the story.
Yeah.
But as far as we know, a 22-year-old kid comes up and he's willing to move around. And he has his contract too.
Yeah.
He has his contract, $80 million to play second base. That's what you gave me. I don't have to move. That's what I heard about Devers. And he gets mad at the kid for not moving. That's how he's actively hurting the team. It hurt the lineup.
Yeah.
It hurt the overall roster.
I'm
and
sure
specifically, it made Campbell uncomfortable, I'd imagine.
I'm sure Devers loved hearing all the praise for Marcelo Meyer's play at third base, too. Meyer was like making great plays over there.
Yeah, Devers move. They automatically have two better third basemen than him. Maybe more.
Right.
Toro might be better over there.
They have at least two better third basemen.
And like the guy wouldn't move. He was wrong. He was wrong to not want to move about third. He was wrong about this as well.
Right.
And he's overrated on top.
And it
of
goes back to, I think he feels like he was disrespected, where if a team gives you $300 million, they're not taking any money away because they can't, but you're getting all of that money and you're still hitting second in the lineup every single day. They're not like jerking around with him in the lineup. They're not sitting him against lefties. They're not doing anything crazy like that. He was being respected by paying him that kind of money. They also probably had to be a little bit surprised by his reaction to moving positions because it's become so normal in baseball. Maybe 20 years ago, it'd be less likely. I remember when, you know, like when A-Rod played third, I was like, that's crazy. Like, he's the better shortstop than Jeter. Why is he moving to third? But he did it. And
we all think that made Jeter selfish, by the way.
A-Rod,
ironically, was the unselfish one. We all thought Jeter was super selfish.
It's funny.
And Jeter wouldn't move, and he was selfish
about
it.
Most guys now change positions all the time. I mean, almost everybody on the current roster, I think, has started multiple spots over the last couple of years.
So, yeah, I think that's an example of actively hurting the team. And again, it's a rip job of Breslow, the June Lee story. And I think a lot of it's right. I mean, Breslow is insulating himself. And Breslow didn't communicate properly with Devers. I wish Lee elaborated a little bit more on the Campbell stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel about this. This is closer to a Devers hit piece to me. Hector Gomez talked to David Ortiz. Ortiz said the following about Devers. You can't imagine how many times I wrote Devers trying to give him advice. Which you think he was...
like handwritten letters in the mail?
Carrier pigeon?
I guess.
But unfortunately, he has communication problems.
If you text somebody, do you say, oh, I wrote you? Or do you say I texted
I would say
you?
I texted.
Yeah.
But
I think he handwrote these letters.
Yeah, maybe.
Which is actually more reason to be insulted.
Yeah.
If you don't
maybe
return...
Devers never wrote back because he never got them.
If I took the time to handwrite something and you didn't respond, I would be upset.
Yeah. No stamp, maybe. Like, we need stamps? Like, yeah, he needs stamps.
He has communication problems, Devers said.
He's got a translator.
Ortiz said about Devers. He almost never returned my messages. Almost never.
So he did.
But I don't blame him. He's a good guy. But he definitely needs to improve his communication. He should find an advisor to help him with that. Again, David Ortiz to Hector Gomez. That's not a reason to trade Devers. just because he doesn't respond. He's got David Ortiz on mute.
David Ortiz.
That's not a reason to trade Devers, no. But it might be representative of some of the issues with Devers.
I met this with the biggest of eye rolls. I mean, he might be right on the money with this. That's fine. But this feels like Breslow and Kennedy and the Red Sox are getting absolutely destroyed. They're like, who's the one guy that everybody loves who still, I think, works for the team? Let's have him say something. Maybe this will cool things off a little bit and get people on our side. Like, it's not going to work. Like, appreciate it. Like, I'm sure he got a nice check for saying this or whatever. But I don't care about this. Like, should he respond to Ortiz? I guess, sure. But, like, he's also his own guy. He's his own player. I care more about how he deals with Campbell and Meyer than I do Ortiz.
Well, I'm guessing if he wouldn't respond to David Ortiz, who is a team employee,
yeah,
then he's probably not responding to Breslow, Campbell, Meyer, Anthony. You said yesterday he might not even know all those guys' names.
He probably doesn't.
I think that's just representative of him being on his own planet. But yeah, just because he doesn't text David Ortiz, that's not a reason to trade him.
But that does seem
that feels hit PC.
Yes, because
okay, fine.
That wasn't he. Although we did bring up an Ortiz comment from a couple of weeks ago when they were asking him about changing positions, and he started out by defending Devers, and then he changed with, "But I would move positions.
I would have done it
if they needed me to do it. I would do it." So it was like you kind of could tell how he really felt, but because Devers was still on the team, he kind of, you know, soft-shoot it a little bit, and then with this, he's just like, hey, that guy wouldn't even get back to me. You're like, all right.
617-779-7937. More your thoughts on this, and it's Tuesday, 12:45, which means it's time for the madness. Keith.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
For Madness next.
All right, here we go. It is Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, and we go to New York City for this story, Jones. They got a bit of a contest going on. Let's find out what happened.
Okay.
The winner of the latest celebrity lookalike competition here in New York City.
Celebrity lookalike.
Oh.
It's a celebrity lookalike contest. Before we find out who the celebrity is and who won, have you ever been has anybody ever described you as like, hey, you look like so-and-so, a celebrity? Not just, hey, you look like a golem or a...
No.
Yeah, no, but like...
A celebrity?
Like a celebrity. Like, hey, you kind of look like...
Joe YL looks like the love child of you and I, according to the Twitch chat.
That's true.
Why do you say it like that?
Joe YL.
I don't know why I said
Joe
that.
Weil.
Joe Weil. I'm sorry.
Joe Weil looks like a love child between us.
Yes.
That's unfortunate for him.
A celebrity? No. How about you?
Yeah, so in college, some people thought I looked like Steve-O.
Oh, nice.
Which I'll take. I think it's because I have like, kind of like big bug eyes sometimes. I think if I shaved my head, I might look a little bit like Steve-O.
Nice.
Which at first I was like, I don't know if that's insulting or a compliment. I'm like, I'll take it.
Get a tattoo of yourself on your back.
I was going to say, you should get a tattoo of Steve-O.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Could do that.
It's going to be him with his Connect jersey on.
Yeah, right. Me and my new sweet City Connect.
Yeah.
Sox are 9-2, by the way, since I got the City Connect.
And?
The Phillies are 1-0 since I got the City Connect.
And minus one star.
Well,
what do you mean?
Devers.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but I didn't trade him, and they won.
They've never lost a game without Devers.
They're now in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Courtesy of the City Connect. What about Nick? You got any celebrity lookalikes?
I don't think so, no.
Come on.
Billy?
Every famous fat guy ever. But no, Kevin James.
Kevin James, King of Queens.
He said an individual he used to work with.
If he does spin the hat around,
used to refer to him.
Like that.
Used to refer to you as Kevin James routinely.
Yeah, look, there goes Doug Heffernan. All right, we get it, buddy.
When that meme was making the rounds, the King of Queens, like we should have had one of Billy.
Yeah,
that
would
have been the show's
hands
meme.
In the pocket or whatever
hands
it was.
In the pocket,
Classic button-down shirt over T-shirt. Look.
Yeah,
nice.
And like
classic
a
fat guy cover-up.
Yeah.
Nice.
That'd be good. All right, so let's see.
Okay, so we have a celebrity.
Do you want to take a guess on what this celebrity contest was?
Yes. They just did a Conan O'Brien one here, right? Wasn't there a Conan O'Brien one on the Common they just did like the other weekend?
They did a Conan O'Brien. They did a Tom Brady one here.
They did. That was at Time Out Market. I'm going to guess this is like a coordinated Conan one. There must have been one in New York for Conan as well.
Male or female?
Male.
I'm guessing male.
This is male.
Yeah.
You saying Conan or the person here? thanks to Dice. He says, no, Keith, you don't look like Steve-O. You just acted like a jackass.
Burn.
Possible. That's possible.
You
that could
stiff.
Be what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about this?
Huh?
According to the text line, which I believe everything that they say, Charlie Chaplin once entered a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest and lost.
Nice.
So that's a fun joke,
like,
right
sir,
there.
Sir, you don't look like Charlie Chaplin.
Of the latest celebrity lookalike competition here in New York City. It went to a Brooklyn dad right on Father's Day. How fitting. This gentleman right here, he apparently looks a lot like Pedro Pascal. Look at that.
He does.
Pedro Pascal. We were just talking about Pedro Pascal on the highly popular Dork podcast.
Yeah.
He's in everything right now.
In too much?
Sick brag, bro.
Nice.
Lucky. No, he is... I don't think so. So some people are saying, hey, it's too much. The guy, he's got to stop taking roles. Why? Why
Apple,
would you?
Apple, come, oh, no, no.
You don't know when it's going to burn out.
No.
I don't blame him for any of this.
Sound business decision,
yes.
But like, are you like, boy, he's in another, I got to watch another
he's
Pedro Pascal thing.
Actor, so.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is a little overexposed.
Yeah, there you go.
But.
Nice.
All right. What channel is that on?
Watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, dude. So it started really for me. The first time I ever saw him was Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. He played an awesome character that had sort of like a small arc, but he was incredible. And then he's really just the voice in The Mandalorian. A lot of times that's not even him in the suit. So he's really just voicing that, which I think kind of helps like the overexposure. Because if you watch that show, you don't actually see his face except for one episode.
Yeah, good point.
And then Fantastic Four's not even out yet. They're just marketing it a lot. He was in Gladiator 2. He's in this new movie that's out now, The Materialists. He's in a couple commercials. He's in this lookalike contest. But he also...
What's like, the show he's on?
Mandalorian.
Oh, is that it?
I think.
I thought he's on one of the newer... No, I'm sure
oh,
you're
is
right.
Oh, another show?
No, I'm probably wrong.
Oh, yeah, Last of Us. You're
Did
right.
we say Last of Us? Okay,
no, you're right.
There we
so
go.
Last of Us.
Thank you.
Well, spoiler alert, he's not on that show anymore. But, yeah, so he's in a ton of stuff, but he's also... An actor that really didn't hit it till he got a little bit older. So wouldn't you just say yes to everything?
No,
you don't know when things are going to burn out.
Of course, I get it from a business standpoint. I'm just saying as a viewer, I'm like, geez, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't need you in everything.
But do you think
how many of those things have you seen, though?
Oh, I haven't seen any of them, but even I'm aware he's in a bazillion things.
But if you're his agent, you're just like, yes, yes, yes. Or are you thinking, you know what, maybe we do a little less, and then this will leave people wanting to see you. Like, is this a bad strategy long term?
I think there's logic to that.
Yeah.
But no, it seems like from a business standpoint,
strike
it's working well.
Strike while the iron's hot, people have said.
There you go.
Pedro number five. I think that's actually Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, it looks exactly like him.
I don't know. This is crazy. So
she looks familiar. Is she also part Yeah, is there a lookout contest?
Somebody from their news team is in like the B-roll that they're showing. So you got three people on the desk. They're all comedians. And they're talking about the guy who does kind of look like Pedro Pascal. Then you have one of the reporters there. And then so they're being funny.
Bianca Peters?
Is this a Bianca Peters lookalike contest? Well, George Guntas from Greenpoint, he beat out nearly 30 other lookalikes to get the title of looking the most like Pedro Pascal. Now, Pascal is booked and busy this summer with his film Materialist, just dropping on Friday, and also The Fantastic Four being released on July 25th. But the contest had took place at Sun Del North Mexican restaurant on the Lower East Side, as Tashani just said, our very own Bianca Peters was a judge there. Now, the eatery says that the contest came to be because back in 2023, Mr. Pascal said there were no decent Mexican food in the Big Apple.
Like,
oh, yeah, he burned him.
Wow.
He burned him. He said there's no good Mexican food. And they're like, oh, yeah?
Hot take.
2 years from now, we're going to do a lookalike contest. Smoked him.
Long con.
Yeah. Smoked him. Oh, he's also in Narcos. So he was in another Netflix show.
There you go. Another show.
What? What?
Okay.
About?
Those are fighting words. But the restaurant also wanted to bring a smile to New Yorkers. Now, Mr. Guntas, he won $50. But here's the best part. A year's supply of burritos.
Oh.
$50 and a year's supply of burritos?
I'll take that.
How many burritos could you eat in a year?
365.
How many?
365.
No, more.
Two a day.
Yeah.
Double it.
Two a day.
Oh, I didn't know if it was limited.
Well, you're going to hear in a second.
Oh, we are limited.
I think it might unfortunately be limited.
Oh, boy.
But these guys, so listen to this.
I wonder if he can Delicious. Take a plus one.
No, you can only have one burrito per week.
And
I understand it's bean and cheese. So
Delicious.
You may not want to be around
Mr. Bean. Yeah, no, he's about to make a joke. He's about to make a fart joke. But basically, like, they just dump on the competition. They're like, well, it's $50 burritos for a year. They're like, that's awesome. Can you bring a plus one? No, not only can he not bring a plus one, it's one burrito a week.
And it's just bean and cheese.
That's not burritos for a year. A bean and one bean and cheese burrito.
Barely a burrito.
That's terrible.
It's not great.
I'll get four of them for a dollar. Tina's ones.
Right, if I legitimately had unlimited burritos for a year, that I might not be able to think of a greater gift.
I would eat it every lunch and dinner. I'd have no problem.
But one bean and cheese burrito a week.
You're like, sir, you already had yours on Friday. Like,
and, well, wait a minute, and $50.
Yeah, so how many? That's like 50 more burritos.
Kind of
like
52 burritos. I'll stick them in the freezer.
It's kind of like your option A, option B yesterday.
Yeah.
Would you rather?
Although really funny, the one guy asked Grok, would you rather? I had the, you can only choose one. I had, you know, Betts, Devers, Sale versus all the guys they got for the, those trades.
Yes.
Grok had a full breakdown.
You want
He's
it?
Like, well, in the short term, oh, you want it? Well, let me finish this.
Okay, yeah, go for it. I'll give you the Grok.
Oh, yeah, that's it? Grok.
I want to be around Mr. Guntas afterwards.
Yeah, right. I know. Mr. Guntas, keep your Guntas to you. Tashani, it kind of sounded like you were trying to go on a hot date with Mr. Guntas there and get a free burrito or something.
Well, no, but I mean, I'd like to get a free burrito.
Okay. Well, Mr. Guntas.
Hot date. You're always trying to, you know what?
I'm just stirring it up.
Oh, my. I don't know what's going on set there.
Yeah. Will they or won't they?
Also, then she threw a piece of paper at him.
Oh, is that what happened? Yeah, I just heard the crinkling. She threw it?
Very flirtatious.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, look out.
I mean, she likes you.
Look out. What did Grok say about the options? You have the Grok trade?
I do. Option A, Mookie Betts, Chris Sale, Rafael Devers is likely better for immediate impact.
I would have to agree.
Betts is a former MVP. They get in all his numbers, Devers' numbers, Sale's numbers, etc. Option B.
Yeah.
Verdugo, Wong, Downs, Grissom, Hicks, Harrison, Bayo, Tibbs offers youth.
Youth.
But Verdugo's 255 average and Hicks' 423 ERA pale in comparison.
True.
And prospects like Downs have flopped. For winning now, option A is stronger. Option B suits rebuilding, but risks busts as seen in past Red Sox trades. So I think Grok, it's a little convoluted. I think they're going with option A.
They're going A, but they're leaving the door open for B.
They are.
So you can hang on to that, Breslow.
Risky.
Yep. John Henry's like, see? We ran it by our experts. You mean Grok? Yeah, Grok said it's not bad.
What would Carmine say about it? Was that their old computer
program? Carmine
was
great.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. There's the madness today.
Nice. People started texting in whom I would get confused with. The kid from Elf.
Oh, yeah, I can see it. The kid from Elf.
In the Winker Bet. Give me a Winker Bet jersey. Jones looks like Griffin Dunn circa 1985. Who's that?
Who's Griffin Dunn?
I don't know. Griffin Dunn.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. Well, there you go. Keith Stevo. Who's Jones?
I can see it.
Yeah, who, Griffin Dunn?
Griffin Dunn.
That makes sense. Who is that?
Griffin Dunn was in a bunch of things. You would see him. He was the teacher in My Girl.
Okay.
He was in Practical Magic?
I remember him from Johnny Dangerously in the 80s with Michael Keaton.
He was in My Girl.
He's in An American Werewolf in London.
How about that?
How about this?
You got a good guy here.
That's a winner.
He played Jack Goodman.
It's very specific to 1985, though, which is what I'm questioning.
So that would be in the film After Hours and Almost You.
Okay,
those are the 85 film.
All right, good.
Oh, he was in Johnny Dangerously.
That's what Billy just said. That.
Billy just said that.
Yeah. And I said My Girl.
Oh, there's music playing. I can't hear a thing.
No worries.
Okay.
Most people tune out when I talk anyway. That's fine.
That's the madness. Kiefer Madness every day. Every Tuesday, rather, here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. Let's get back to Alex Cora, his role in all of this, because I think Breslow made sure to connect Cora to it. We'll get to it next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.